Radio Gorgeous, created by women for women. RadioGorgeous.com. Hello and welcome to the new Radio Gorgeous this week.
Hello, I'm feeling fresh.
So this is Donna Freed, say hello.
Hello.
And I'm Josephine Pembroke. Now the exciting news is that every day you're going to be able to hear Radio Gorgeous this week. Well, Monday through to Thursday, which is nearly every day this week. Mm-hmm. 6 a.m. UK time on our website, the show will appear. So every day you can tune in now to Radio Gorgeous. What do you think of that, Donna?
Fantastic. And you still get your once a week mailing that will have links to all four shows.
Right, so if you don't want to think too much, it comes straight into your inbox. Gorgeous mail, yeah.
12 p.m. on Thursdays, as per usual. Yeah. No change there.
So, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. On Monday, today, is Gorgeous Gossip Day.
That's us.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about an article I found in the newspaper today, which is Why Faking Passion Will Not Fool Your Other Half.
Okay. Ooh, I got caught out once. Okay. Yeah.
So let's talk about who's off the week that's coming out tomorrow.
That is T.S. Lerner.
Ooh, sounds very learned.
Yes, T.S. Lerner. She is hugely smart and incredibly well-read.
Where's she from?
She splits her time between Australia, California, and London.
Wow.
Yes, she's a very traveled woman.
International, darling.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She has a bit of an Australian accent. Mm. But yeah, she was lovely. And she lives in London, in Albany Court, which has a great literary tradition, which I'm happy to say she's carrying on.
And tell me what she written then.
She has written The Stolen, which is another one of her sort of big conspiracy thrillers. They're set in historical times and, you know, have to do with historical themes, but how it affects the people, you know, her heroes and heroines now. The Stolen in particular, she's written The Sphinx and The Map. The Stolen is sort of the legacy of what the Nazis did to the Roma population, to the gypsies, which, you know, they did the same thing as they did with the Jews.
Yeah,
and whatever.
But it's not as known about.
Exactly. Yes. And it's a great way to re-examine that and also to highlight what happened to the gypsies. And
sounds fascinating.
It's really
I'd
fun.
I'd really like to read that.
Yeah, you would.
Fun?
Yes.
Isn't that the wrong word?
Well, no, because it's so well written and so layered and nuanced. Mm-hmm. That it is really fun. It's a fun read. It's a thriller.
Yeah.
But you do learn a lot and you do, there's a lot packed in there.
Okay. Then on Wednesday, we've got Marisa Peer. I went to the Great Northern Hotel in King's Cross to meet her. And she's written a book. She's a hypnotist to celebrities. And she's written this book called You Can Be Younger, Use the Power of Your Mind to Look and Feel 10 Years Younger in 10 Simple Steps.
Fantastic.
And I have been doing it a bit.
And do you look younger? I mean, do you feel younger? Of course you look younger.
Yes, so I do. Good. Because if I get negative thoughts coming to my mind, I think, no, that's the past. I used to think like that. Now I feel my cells are rejuvenating. I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling young. I'm feeling... She said, as long as you say now, your subconscious knows that it's happening. So you say, you say to yourself, I'm feeling gorgeous now. And then it knows, subconscious thinks, woohoo. Now, the other thing she said was, she said, eat oily fish. And I really don't really like the taste of it, but I'm forcing myself today. I had salmon and avocado for lunch. Yesterday I had smoked grackle pate. I'm really trying to go for it because she says that is the key to good skin and good everything.
And good memory. And
Yeah. Because even though you can take the capsules, which I have done for like 20 years, they don't really work. Yeah. But she's okay. Really fascinating. And she also... she can, if you buy the book, you get free downloads. So she says it takes 3 weeks. You just listen to them for 3 weeks and it's gone into your subconscious.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then on Thursday, to celebrate the weekend coming, we've got the cook called Lindsay Barham.
Wow.
Who's from Chiswick, which is where we are, Shepherd's Bush, Chiswick border. And Lindsay is famous for, in the Evening Standard in the 90s, I was learning how to cook, early 90s, living in London, just got married. And I used to just devour Lindsay Barham recipes. And she has just written tons of cookbooks. One of the ones she's written was called Soup, which, as you know, I'm a soup fanatic. So that's a really thick book. It's divided into, you know, about five different kind of types of soup. But she's going to be talking a lot about her new book, One Pot Cooking. But we're going to talk about her, what she's been up to, what she's done in the past, what her future is, and also about the difference between a cook and a chef.
Ah.
And being a female.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting. In fact, we've got a brilliant week. Haven't
yes,
we, Donna?
We have.
It's really exciting.
And we're up early, 6 a.m.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah. And now to our guest on Gorgeous Gossip, who is Abby Roberts.
Abby Roberts
is a comedian. She contacted me through Twitter. And so I looked her up on kind of YouTube, and she's like a white blonde version of you. She's just got masses of blonde hair, never stops talking, really lively. And you know what she's really good at? Impersonations. So hello to Radio Gorgeous, Abby Roberts, who's a comedian.
Hello.
You've been described as high octane comedy with brilliant routines, entertaining throughout, and leaves everybody wanting more.
That's right. A review from my ex-husband. No, that's true. I think it was Gigglebeat.
Yeah.
Very nice publication in the north said that. So.
So tell me, how long have you been a comedian?
I've been a stand-up comedian since 2011. So
right.
Not actually that long. And then before that, I was wasting my time doing. I don't want to offend any cabaret performers, but I was doing a lot of sort of feather boa sort of singing songs, and I should have been focusing on the jokes, which
okay.
I now am.
What? Then you suddenly realised that the bits in between were better than the actual singing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a professional singer, but
yeah.
It just started to go. Oh God, I've got to sing a song again, and it just kind of interrupted the flow of what I was saying.
Yeah.
So someone said, "Why don't you ditch the songs and then you'll get into clubs doing comedy?" So that's what I did. Basically.
Fantastic. So you've got two shows going up to Edinburgh this year. Isn't that a bit greedy? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Hence my voice sounding, you know, full of panic. I've got my solo show, which is Twerk in Progress.
Wow.
Which is going to be at the Free Fringe in Edinburgh, and got a lot of previews coming up. I can give you the dates for those at the end. And then I've got music, a thing called Musical CID, which is where I interview one comedian. I have one guest comedian, and we talk about their record collection.
So that's Musical CID. Now tell me about your solo show, because that's much scarier. That's much scarier. You know what I'm going to do to you, Abby? I'm going to put you on the spot now and make you do a little bit of your routine for us. Come on.
A little bit of routine.
Yeah.
Well, some of my show goes from talking about, my stuff in the show goes from talking about music that you have sex to. I've got a true story, which is basically about me bringing someone home and then putting my iPod on and then having an orgasm to Hakuna Matata from the Lion King.
That's perverse.
It's very perverse. That's sort of like what I call my sort of mainstream humour. You know, I do lots of impressions.
Brilliant. Oh yeah, do an impression of somebody.
I'll give you Marge Simpson. Oh, hi Josephine, it's really lovely to talk to you. Hi.
That is really weird you do that character, because guess what, I can do that character.
Can you?
Yes, I can do Marge. We could be Marge together.
Oh, my God.
This is incredible.
I do Sandy Toksvig as well.
Oh, yeah, do her.
Hello, welcome to the news crews. Hello.
God, that's uncanny. That is uncanny.
It's 5 to 11 in the morning. That's my sort of mainstream stuff. Some of this will be in the show. Actually, maybe a lot of it won't be in the show.
Yeah.
And I'm doing stuff about some quite sad stuff that happened last year. It's basically saying life is a work in progress. Well, life is a twerk in progress.
Yes, no, it's absolutely true, because you can't have the highs without the lows. And also
shit happens,
basically, doesn't it? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Shit happens. And there's a little bit of stuff about living in Russia as well.
Living in Russia?
Living in Russia. There's going to be stuff in Russian. I've beaten Eddie Izzard to it, so I'm going to do. Because I speak Russian, so I'm going to put some bits of Russian.
So hang on, you've just got to just quickly tell us why you lived in Russia.
Well, I studied over there in the 90s, and I've been, and my stepfather is Russian, so we used to go there as children.
God, before the curtain, yeah. So you went and ate beetroot and sort of hung out at the Black Sea, did you?
Yeah, exactly. It was all very. I just got used to it, I guess.
Yes.
And then did it at university, and then went over there, studied over there.
So did you ever go to the Ukraine or anything?
I did, yes. Ah. I went to Kiev, yes. So it's really, it's horrible kind of seeing everything that's happening, you know, because you just go, oh.
Yeah, you can relate to it. You can relate to it, that's the thing. More than us.
I got given an army hat by a soldier. I mean, he was a friend. He was a sort of he was a family friend. And I took it to Edinburgh a few years ago, you know, for a cabaret show, and somebody stole it from the venue.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. You're going to Edinburgh, but you're doing a few kind of warm-up gigs in places down south.
Yes, yeah, can I'm you doing tell my first London preview. Actually, it's quite interesting because it's at the Etc. Theatre.
Yeah.
You know, in Camden, Etc. Theatre on May the 19th. And I'm actually doing that. We're going to have a bucket collection at the end for Stand Up For Women. It's basically a bit like Comic Relief,
but for women.
So all the women's issues are highlighted, you know, lots of important issues. And then the 15th of May, Thursday before, that's at Verdict Comedy Club in Brighton.
Brilliant.
And then I've got on the 26th of May, I'm doing a preview with Sarah Pascoe.
Oh, wow.
Downstairs at the King's Head.
Fabulous.
On the 26th. So that'll be really, and obviously she's a big star.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, oh, I'm just, you know, here doing my stuff. And then say,
right. So do you find, what's the difference between, because apparently stand up's meant to be much more terrifying than cabaret. I mean, I imagine it's more terrifying than cabaret, is it?
Basically, stand up, I personally think, is like the ultimate sort of test of like, right, have you got
performer.
your stuff?
Yeah,
Also, even if you know your stuff, you still have to change it because the audience may go, "No, I'm not sure if we like that."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You've got to think, "Shit, what else have I?"
Yeah,
got?
And anything can happen. You're live on stage. It's not like you have got the safety
prepared.
Of musicians and props, and you know, you are bare, aren't you?
I mean, it's the same with character comedy. That's why I'm glad, in a way, I didn't do a character first and then go into stand-up, because I think it's virtually impossible. Once you've done a character for a few years, you know, and then you have to be yourself on stage. I think that must be really
hard. Like, remember Mike Harwood, we always used to say ugh when he came on and said, and this is me. Everyone thought he was so boring.
So I think the stand-up, you're right, you're stripping back all the layers and just going, oh my god, my life's been a bit of a fuck up, but you know, and I'm going to tell you a bit about it or whatever.
And if people want to find more about you, they go to abbyroberts.com, don't they?
That's right, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thanks, Abby. Can you believe it? Abby's got two shows on at the Edinburgh Festival, so she's doing all these warm-up gigs. So you just go to her website, abbyroberts.com, and you will find out where you can go and see her in England before Edinburgh.
Fantastic.
Now, the article I found today, Why Faking Passion Will Not Fool Your Other Half. 84 couples in Canada.
Okay.
And they found out who faked it and who didn't. Obviously, the men said that the women were more satisfied than, you know what I mean? You know how men like. So what the image
So they were fooled.
Yeah, they're really good.
You can fool some of the fools sometimes.
Yeah. I know that when I first started relationships, I've done loads of faking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I can like nearly read a book at the same time. It's a little bit rude, but you know.
Well, a good friend of mine, I used to fake, you know, because part of...
What, when you first met someone?
Yeah. But as a friend of mine pointed out, you know, it's a lose-lose percentage. Because if you're faking it, especially, you know, with an established partner, well, how are they going to know, you know, any different? How are they going to learn to actually do it? How's it going to get better if you're pretending everything's marvelous and wonderful? And, you know, woo!
I find with men, you've got to really go into detail of what you want.
Mm.
You know, this is with men. I mean, you know, because they just don't know. You know, they, you know, I'm not being mean, but, you know, why, you know, every woman's different, as you know.
Yes, they are. So pelvic nerve is...
Yeah,
is,
everyone's got a different place. Like, it can be your bum, it can be in between, it can
perineum.
Be your clitoris.
Mm-hmm. The G-spot.
Yeah, the G-spot. Well, I've been getting my husband to play my G-spot a lot more. And I find I was having to use lubricant quite a lot mm-hmm. because I'm getting older. And if he does the G-spot for about a couple of minutes, that's all coming back.
It's all working.
Yeah.
It's all working in your favor. So if you were faking... You would never have gotten there.
No.
You never would have had that conversation either. No. You know.
Now, have you found your G-spot? Because I know you've been intrigued.
No, I've been.
You're too busy.
I'm getting closer. I feel like we're honing in on the area. But yeah.
All it is you hook the finger and then just go literally behind your pubes, sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
For you.
Oh, really? So everyone's got a different place.
Well, I mean, it's just where the ending of the pelvic nerve. And it's supposed to be the opposite side of where your clitoris is. They're part of the same nerve ending. But I do remember, speaking of this subject, my favorite, still hands down, my favorite t-shirt that I've ever seen is one that a man, I was walking to work, I was in my 20s, I was walking across town, lower Manhattan, to go to my waitressing job, and I saw a man wearing a t-shirt saying, "Lady, let go of my ears, I know what I'm doing." I thought it was pretty excellent.
Yeah.
I just had this image
of it. Yeah. Up, down, side,
exactly.
Little. Fire. It was an art, as we know, a definite art. But look, why did you go red at the beginning? How did you get caught then, Donna?
No, it's my husband just knew. It was one. We were here. This is a long time ago. My husband was living in Wimbledon. I'll set the scene. Mm. And we had gone out to the pub with his roommate, who neither of us particularly liked. so I don't know why we were in the pub with his roommate to begin with. But I didn't set up the scenario. In any event, we got back from the pub. My husband was... Well, he wasn't my husband at the time. He was my boyfriend. And it was New Year's Eve afternoon.
Yeah.
I forget what we were supposed to be doing that night. But he sort of didn't like how, you know, that I was being chummy with his roommate who we didn't like. But, you know, I was just being social. In any event, I'd had a couple of drinks. And once I've had a couple of drinks, I find it very difficult to achieve orgasm.
Oh.
Anyway, so and he was...
Yeah, because they say it numbs you. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And he was working so hard. And I just want to, you know, give the guy a bone, you know. I've been bump sitting all afternoon, you know. Come on already.
Also,
enough already.
Boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Enough already, you know. And, yeah, and he did. He was patently obvious that I hadn't, despite noise and effort. And he was unimpressed. Uh-huh. So it was good. Nipped it in the bud early in our relationship.
Yeah.
You know, don't fake it. What's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So Donna has been caught.
I've been caught out.
Love it.
Caught out.
Tell us whether you've been caught out, and also tell us where your G-spot is. There's a new system on the website now where you can leave a vocal comment to us, which we can put on Twitter or put on our website. So please, please be as uncensored as possible. Because that's the idea of Radio Gorgeous. Uncensored, aren't we, darling?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I'm licensed and out there. Thank you so much, Donna, for coming to Radio Gorgeous. Thank you so much to all our guests this week. And we're really excited because it's the launch of the new Radio Gorgeous. RadioGorgeous.com, Radio Gorgeous Productions 2014. Hallelujah! Baby, take a look around. Everybody's getting down. Deal with all the problems later. Bad boys on their best behavior. There's something about you. Let's keep it moving. And if it's good, let's just get something cooking. 'Cause I
it just like you're supposed to. Hey.